720 WGN. It is Dane Neal and Hannah Stanley on Thanksgiving. Once again, of course, that number 312-981-7200. You can call in, share some of your views, I guess, with the program. Of course, your thoughts on Thanksgiving, what you're thankful for. If you got any kind of crazy hijinks, you can do that too. Enter to win some great prizes from Lou Malnati's and a book from Dr. Barbecue.
Oh, and his books are awesome.
Yes, they are.
I love them. You know who else has awesome books? God, that was a heck of a transition.
Well, it was one.
Radio professionals. Lisa Dietlin is joining us from the Institute of Transformation Philanthropy. Oh, there you are. Hi.
Yeah, hey, hey. Hi. Is this microphone on, as we say in my family?
Is this mic on?
Is it on?
Yeah. Lisa Dietlin, philanthropic expert and author.
Yes.
You have your fourth book?
Sixth.
Coming out?
It did come out in September, my sixth book.
Ay, ay, ay.
It's titled, as Hannah knows, I don't know if Dane knows, I Got Hit by a Taxi, But You Look Run Over. Life lessons about happiness and joy. And based on a true story, I got hit and run over by a taxi in the Loop of Chicago about a year ago. Took a ride on the hood, fell off, and he drove over me.
Oh, no.
And then he had to put it in reverse to get off my body.
So literally, she was hit by a taxi.
You look great regardless, but considering, you look absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you. I laugh at people. They say to me, did they catch the guy? And I always say, he had to put the car in reverse to back it off my
body.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
I was
aware. They kind of caught him.
I got the serial number off the underbelly
of
the
car. On the VIN.
312-981-7200. We're going to talk with Lisa about philanthropic giving and organizations and how to look for organizations
right.
as well. That's the number for calls and texts. And we're getting many texts, and we're going to talk about this again, because how can we be on Thanksgiving without talking about WKRP? It is, in fact, Mr. Carlson. So thank you. He is the one who said, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. I missaid Les Nessman. I think I just wished that he had said it. He is the one who went WK. So Lisa joins us. You were with us, I believe, at some point last year
yeah.
for Christmas or Thanksgiving or
a couple of times. Yeah.
Dane said it was our fourth or fifth Thanksgiving. I think this is our fourth in a row,
oh,
but I don't
goodness.
Know. I don't know.
You guys know. Are pros.
It feels like our 72nd because it's WGN.
It's our 72nd.
Yes. But here you are with us, and on such a day of feasting and abundance.
Correct. Overeating and stuffing.
Right. Stuffing ourselves mm-hmm. and stuffing. and it is an obvious connection to think about those who don't have, who are the food, the phrasing is food insecure.
Correct.
So they might have food for today, but they might not have food for later or tomorrow or whatever, or maybe not even today. How can we make ourselves more aware of this in our own community?
Well, first of all, to be aware that hunger is an issue in America. You know, hunger looks different in America than it looks in other countries. You know, I think those of us of a certain age remember growing up and seeing the commercials of the bloated bellies of the children in third world and developing countries. And that's not how hunger looks here. And when I became aware of hunger in America, I thought, how can we have a hunger problem? We have an obesity problem. You know, I mean, everybody's, you know, talking about how overweight we are and how can we have a hunger problem? But hunger is exactly what you said, Hannah. It's that person who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. It's the mom who waters down the milk to make it go further. It's the dad who skips a meal so his kids can eat. It's the kids who never have seconds because there's never any extra food. And, you know, their last meal is lunch at school on Thursday before they get the free and reduced lunch on Friday or breakfast on Friday morning. And so, first of all, recognizing that hunger exists and that it just doesn't exist, folks, at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a 365-day-a-year problem.
And located in every community.
Every community.
Rich, poor, everywhere.
Right. I did some work out in New Mexico and with Los Alamos, which is considered one of the richest counties, you know, wealthiest counties. And they have a food pantry that's supplied by a food bank in that geographic area because there are hungry people, even in the wealthiest communities.
And you mentioned it is one of those things that oftentimes flies under the radar, but you know, we've interviewed the Greater Food Depository for Chicago and the mm-hmm. West Suburban
Community Pantry.
Yep. We've mm-hmm. done events with them, and they have said over, you know, maybe like 2008, 2009, things have like really spiked.
Absolutely.
And you're right, in every single community, many of which are kind of thought to be maybe relatively affluent demographically, but there is a huge demand on those places.
Right. And so what I would say to folks today that are listening, I would say one of the statistics is 1 in 6. One in six Americans are hungry. So if you have six people at your table today, or you have 12 people, realize that if it was in the general population, one or two of them would not know where their next meal is coming from. That just seems horrible to a statistic here in America, when we do have such abundance and we do have such wealth, that people are going hungry.
And it isn't an obvious thing, and it isn't something that most people in most communities are really comfortable talking about. So there's a huge demand and pressure on those food pantries. So what are some of the best ways? Because you're kind of that guru on the best ways to be able to help. People know they want to help. We've identified it's an issue. What can we do?
Well, here's a couple things. First of all, be supportive financially. There's oftentimes the national organization called Feeding America, and you can make a donation to Feeding America, which actually helps the 200 plus food banks that serve every county in America, access food and buy in bulk and be able to distribute it from food manufacturers and those that do distribution. So that's one. Two, if you want to go a little bit more local, you go to feedingamerica.org and you put in your zip code, and they will come up with a food bank that is serving your area. And just like here in Chicago, we have the Greater Chicago Food Depository or the Northern Illinois Food Bank. You can provide a financial gift there. Three is you could look at your local food pantry. Those are those soup kitchens that are out of the churches or the domestic violence shelters or the Boys and Girls Clubs, and see what you can do. Here's what's an interesting statistic, is that a number of schools now are providing backpacks with food.
Blessings of the Backpack. Wonderful organization.
Absolutely, because kids, again, that are on free and reduced lunches oftentimes don't have food on the weekend or in the evenings. So this organization and a lot of food banks, for usually about $60 a year, you can provide food in a backpack for an entire year for a student.
What I love about it, and we've interviewed them before, Blessings in a Backpack, and I believe it's blessingsinabackpack.org, is that the people who work on that, you can go very privately to the school, ask if there is need in that school. And what you do is you come in, put those backpacks together, and they're set off to the side, and the kids who need them know to come and get them. And no one thinks any differently.
Right. They look like every other kid's backpack. They're not labeled or private labeled or whatever. They have kid-friendly food in it, meaning the child does not need an adult to help them prepare the food. So you think about peanut butter snack packs or nuts or dried fruit or tuna snack packs, or a lot of food banks are putting in beef jerky because that's a source of protein. But absolutely. And you also can ask, you know, do they need donations of food? I often encourage financial donations, but because most food banks have 4 to 5 times the buying power, meaning if you give a dollar, they can buy $4 to $5 worth of food because of the relationships they have through the food bank, Feeding America, the pantry. But a lot of times people want to bring food. And here's what I would say to listeners. Don't clean out your pantry of things you don't want to eat to give to a food bank, because most likely the people receiving it don't want to eat it either. So a lot of times we do that. We clean out our pantry and we say, well, I'm not going to use these, you know,
these
clams,
lima beans,
these lima beans, or I'm not going to use these wax beans, or I'm not going to use, you know, these oysters, smoked oysters. And the people receiving it probably aren't going to be able to use it either.
I'm texting my wife right now. Put the lima beans back.
I often say, you know, think about what you like and purchase those things and donate those things. Food banks and food pantries are in desperate need of protein and produce.
The other thing, too, that I noticed when I was pregnant and had my children, you can sign up online and get these Similac and Enfamil. The formula companies will send you free formula. Those went to the food banks for me.
I love that
because
idea.
I was trying to make sure we. Hey, look, John Williams. I was trying to make sure that we.
Dane and I just looked out the window.
Yeah, because that's really John Williams
it
is
really
walking
is
by
John
the studio.
Williams.
Yes,
we saw a nautical captain with a scepter.
And
John
then now John Williams.
Who's next?
WGN listeners, yay! He's here. He's in town. But what it did was allow an incredibly expensive item to be there in the pantries for those moms.
Absolutely. A lot of food banks call those groceries, those items that folks can't buy with their food stamps or with their link card here in Illinois. So you think about diapers, you think about laundry detergent, you think about things that people can't buy that they actually, if they're food insecure, they probably need these other items also. That so when you go shopping, you know, it's not just the food, it's just not, don't just pick up a turkey and think I've done my part. And also, if you want to provide a turkey and actually buy the groceries, realize that you need to get it to the food bank or food pantry 2 weeks before the holiday because they need to put it in baskets and bags and bundle it so that they can distribute it a week before the holiday so that the people actually receiving it know they have a meal for the holiday.
I didn't really think about those other items, but that is so important because detergent is actually pretty expensive.
Yes,
and
it is.
And if you're buying that because you need
toilet paper, Kleenex, you know, things that we all need. And, you know, oftentimes in many states, their food stamp card will only provide for food and not the grocery items, which, again, is an education part that we all need to be aware of.
Yeah. The thing that has been most eye-opening to me is the fact that it does exist in every community. So you can have an incredibly affluent county or town, and there's still a food bank. You just have to look for it. And that means that there's hunger in your community.
Absolutely. If you Google hunger in America, feeding America, local food bank, you know, our internet search engines are so smart now, it will come up with that organization that's distributing the food or that's actually using the food to serve a meal. And I also encourage people on this day to think about volunteering throughout the year. Not just everybody wants to volunteer on Thanksgiving Day or on Christmas Day if you celebrate that holiday. But you know what? In April, they need volunteers. In July, when it's really hot, they need volunteers.
Right.
Well, sometimes, you know, we've got some of these kind of marquee meals that we think of, and it maybe makes us kind of reflect and give thought. But, right, people need to eat every day, 365 days a year.
Well, and here's what's shocking, Dane, is that, you know, kids that are on free and reduced lunches don't have access to food in the summer.
Right.
So a lot of food banks provide summer feeding programs. And again, we don't think about hunger. We think, oh, my gosh, there's picnics and there's, you know, barbecues and we're all overeating again in the summer. But that child or children that get free and reduced lunches at school, when school ends, where do they get their breakfast and lunch?
That's incredibly important. And then additionally, a new demographic that we're seeing a lot of is the elderly because they're paying for their medications. They're not buying food. And so this is yet again another grouping of people. And because that population is increasing so much because of the baby boomer generation, it is another group to consider as well. And you can, like you said, Feeding America is exceptional. If you want to do more with the kids, then Dane and I personally and Lisa can also say, Blessings in a Backpack, exceptional.
A great organization. And look at accessing your senior centers. What I always recommend, too, is call. Call ahead and see what is needed. Sometimes veterans organizations provide food for veterans that they might be accessing. Veterans Association, not necessarily a food bank. You also think about those that are going to Habitat for Humanity for homes. Sometimes they don't have food, so they're asking Habitat for Humanity, you know, do you have food? Do you have access to food? So just if you're just a little creative, you'll find those places that are distributing food in your community.
Yeah.
And in your church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Food is so important, so essential. Quality of life issue, though, coming up with toys. When we come back with Lisa, we're going to talk a little bit about the toys for tots.
Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder and WGN. More after this. Hannah Stanley, Dane Neal filling in today on WGN for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We will be with you until noon. So it is the first half of their show, and then Rob Hart, and I think Randy
Belisamo.
Yeah, I think she's coming in with him, too. So this is very exciting for us, because I believe this is our fourth Thanksgiving in a row we've been able to spend with you. Lisa Dietland joining us today from the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy, located here in the city of Chicago. Your sixth book just came out. I got hit by a taxi, but you look run over.
Right. Life Lessons About Happiness and Joy, based on a true story of being hit and run over by a taxi.
Dane has been advising her on how she should have reacted in the ER.
Like, right. You know, hey, my neck is stiff. I'm not sure.
I can't feel my legs.
I can't feel my legs. Would be a good one, too. Well, the joy that you can take out of a situation like that, I think, is exceptional. Well, and this time of year, you know, you're looking, especially with kids, to kind of have them have a joyful experience during the holidays. And this is an organization and this is a cause that I think is so, so important, especially for those families that are struggling. It's one thing about the food, obviously essential, but if you can give people a great holiday season and a great Christmas, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, all we see on TV, and this is the same message that the other kids are going to see, is, you know, these, like, abundant Christmases and like unwrapping lots of presents, and some kids won't even have one.
Right.
Be them a military family that's, you know, trying to make things do until that particular parent comes home.
Correct.
Or be it someone else who's just really struggling. Toys for Tots has been there for a long time.
It certainly has. And it's so reputable. It started about 65, 70 years ago. And then they formed a foundation, which is actually raises money to help supplement the toys. But basically, it's about purchasing a toy for a child and taking it to one of the drop sites, which you can find online, or being a drop site. And it goes from October to about the middle of December. They ask that you not wrap the toy, but that you donate it, because then they go through the Toys for Tots organization, sorting through them and distributing them and making sure they get to the right children. They have done hundreds of millions of toys and helped hundreds of millions of children.
Little trivia, that train that we all identify so distinctly with Toys for Tots, their logo, that train logo was drawn by Walt Disney.
No.
Yes,
I did not
swear to you. I swear to you. And their distribution center is just on the north side and is huge. Oh. And of course, the Marines do such a great job with making sure that's run effectively and distributed efficiently.
We just got a text that it was actually drawn by Mr. Carlson.
No, Les Essman. No, the other thing I would want to point out to our listeners is that, you know, if you can't find, you know, or you're feeling like you're frustrated and you don't know what you can do for the holidays, one of the things that my family started doing about 4 years ago was actually paying off someone's layaway. Layaway came back.
Awesome.
Being a layaway angel. Yeah. No, being a layaway angel. Layaway came back during the recession in 08 and 09 by some of the department stores, you know, and going in, and my brother did it first. You know, first year we're like, okay, we got to do this, and we're pulling money out of our pockets at my mom's house, and we're like, okay, what do we have? And my brother goes in, and he says to the clerk behind the counter, he says, at the layaway, I want to pay for someone's layaway that has children's toys in it, because my brother has four children, and he wanted to make sure other children, like his children, had gifts under the tree. And so the woman went through all the layaway and came back, and with the amount of money we had, and we paid it off. And then she was so excited, the clerk, to call the family and say,
wow,
your layaway is paid off.
How awesome is that?
And now, last year we started, and we're doing it again this year, we don't even exchange presents. We don't need the grandchildren in the family are ages 15 to 21, and they're like, we don't need gifts, you know. So everybody puts in what we would do for the gift exchange, which in our family is $20, and we take that in. And last year I did it here in Chicago, and again worked with a clerk and said, can you find a layaway that has children's toys in it? We'd like to pay it off. And she was so excited. And so every family member wants to do it, you know, like, when is it my turn to go and do and be the layaway angel?
This is so
That's
great.
Crazy,
the other thing that you've mentioned, and I know it exists and I forget, there are ways that you can shop charitably. One of my favorites is smile.amazon.com.
Correct.
It's the same Amazon. It's not costing you anything more, but there are certain items that a small or bigger percentage then goes to a charity of your choice.
Yes, there are. So many corporations, especially at this time of year, have some sort of dedicated charitable program. Amazon is one of them, but you can look around, you know, at what Macy's is doing, what other mm-hmm. corporations are doing to help, you know, Make-A-Wish or other organizations. You just have to take a step back and look and say, is this helping a charitable organization? You know, a couple of ideas that I often have are, there's a charity gift card. Most people don't realize, just like a in-store gift card, there's now a charity gift card called justgive.org. And you can purchase it like you would a gift card in a store and give it to someone, and they can use that to donate to their favorite charity. So the money that you purchase, so say you purchase a $25 justgive.org card and I give it to you, you can give that $25 to any of the 1.6 million nonprofits that exist in this country, and that's your way of giving back. So it's teaching charity. The second one is bidding for good. Bidding for good is online auctions. Charities have online auctions. And so for that hard to shop for person that like, oh my gosh, when am I going to get them? A lot of times, as we know, at auctions for charity, there are really unique gifts. There could be vacations, there could be tickets, there could be, you know, special experiences that you could purchase for that hard to buy for a person, and a large percentage of it goes to charity.
That is a great suggestion, because oftentimes we've all been at so many different events, either emceeing it or being a part or donating some of the gifts. And you're kind of left up to whoever happens to be in the room as far as the value, where if you can open it up and allow people to bid on it from all over, I think you can get a lot more a lot more for it.
You absolutely can. And one of the last things I would share is, you know, I know tomorrow's Black Friday and we've talked about how you can shop anytime, but I would encourage our listeners to think about taking those sale coupons and those deals and actually shopping for charity. You know, if you look at a Boys and Girls Club or you look at a, you know, YMCA or YWCA, there's so much need there. And thinking about, instead of shopping for yourself and getting the savings for yourself, maybe use those coupons and those savings and shop for charity and make that donation. And the first gift being that you're giving to someone else.
And take your kids with you to do it.
Oh, love that.
Learn them early because I think it's important for them to understand not everybody's as lucky as they are.
No.
And it's this time of year that maybe it's on the front burner, no pun intended, of what people are thinking of and how they're doing it. But remember, and I think you mentioned it, is it's important to just keep this in your mind all year long.
Right. I often say, and I'm on a lot in January, and I talk about making a charitable plan of action. What do you want to do all year long? That is just not November and December. And here's what's shocking. 80% of charities receive 50% of their funding in the last 2 months of the year. Think about that. Think about if you were running your household and 80% of your money, you know, 80% of the time, 50% of your funds came in the last 2 months of the year. That's insanity.
Yeah, it's really hard. Lisa Dietlin, thank you so much. The Institute for Transformational Philanthropy. You are located here. Your most recent book, I Got Hit by a Cab or a Taxi.
I Got Hit by a Taxi, But You Look Run Over. Life Lessons About Happiness and Joy.
Available on Amazon and where finer books are sold. Thank you so much for your time. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Wendy Snyder and Bill Leff here on WGN.